Is that a glimmer of federal stimulus? I'm David Brancaccio. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are set to talk today on a new coronavirus relief package. Despite intense political polarization in Washington, there's a hint here of forward movement. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us here. So stimulus before the election was given up for dead, but no?
Well, there are some signs of compromise. Mnuchin says President Trump is now willing to spend more than around $1 trillion. Speaker Pelosi says she and Mnuchin had an extensive conversation, but there are areas where they're seeking further clarification. The Democrats did postpone a vote last night on their own coronavirus relief package, which would have cost around $2 trillion.
And what's in there again?
There would be more stimulus checks for most taxpayers, $1,200 per individual. The bill would reinstate the $600 a week supplemental unemployment benefits that expired over the summer. And there's also help for renters and state and local governments.
So what are the hurdles, Nancy?
Well, there's a group of Senate Republicans who are very worried about the deficit, and they're balking at all this spending on coronavirus relief. There's still disagreement between Mnuchin and Pelosi over the Republicans' insistence on liability protections for businesses. Republicans don't want to give state and local governments so much money. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was asked yesterday about the prospects for a deal, and he told reporters, quote, "We are very, very far apart."
All right, Nancy, thank you. Tokyo is the third largest stock market in the world, just behind the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ market here. That market, Tokyo, had to be turned off today due to an apparent technical problem. It's supposed to reopen tomorrow. Here's the BBC's Katie Silver.
Officials say an electronic trading system glitch caused the worst outage on the Tokyo Stock Exchange since it moved to electronic trading in 1999. Buying and selling on more than 2,500 shares was suspended just before trade was due to begin this morning. At a press conference, the exchange's president said hardware will be replaced and the system restarted. He apologized for the outage and said the exchange decided against resuming trade today to reduce market confusion. But the outage comes on an important day. It's not just the start of the fourth quarter. Key economic data from the Japanese Central Bank showed confidence among Japanese manufacturers, while improving, remains low. The Tokyo Stock Exchange president said trading is expected to resume as normal on Friday, but analysts have warned of higher than usual volatility. I'm the BBC's Katie Silver for Marketplace.
The S&P future here is up 0.9% after gaining 8.5% in the quarter just concluded. It's the best six-month run for stocks since the year after the last Great Recession. We've been covering moves by the U.S. to ban two China-based apps amid data privacy concerns, WeChat and TikTok. U.S. tech firms in China also face many hurdles. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak reports from Shanghai.
College student Tian Qingyu uses a lot of apps on her cell phone, just not ones Americans are familiar with. She uses WeChat, Weibo, Bilibili, iQIYI, but the American equivalents to those apps, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Netflix, are all blocked in China. Though it's not a blanket ban. It's just that the Chinese government wants to control the information in and out of the country. In theory, YouTube could apply to operate in China, says Oscar Ramos with the Global Venture Capital Fund, SOSV, in Shanghai.
YouTube is considered a media. Online video is considered a media. And to be able to offer that service, you need a special type of license.
But those licenses, he says, are limited in number. Even if YouTube got the license, it would have to self-censor, he says, which might hurt YouTube's global brand.
The rules in China have been very clear. You can like them or not. And those rules are applied to companies regardless of where they come from.
In other words, not targeted at just U.S. firms. He says media companies aside, there is room for American tech firms in the Chinese market. Airbnb works fine in China. But some big U.S. names couldn't quite crack the Chinese market, like eBay.
The strategic decisions that they made just trying to bring in a global playbook that worked really well in other parts of the world, but didn't work in a market that was big enough for local players to try to do things their own way.
Chinese tech firms have been operating in the U.S. with few restrictions until now. So when the Trump administration proposes a ban on WeChat and TikTok, the Chinese tech community see this as some form of retaliation, says tech journalist Du Chen.
They tend to think that, okay, this is the hand that we're dealt with. We've got to improvise on that. And I think it's not like that people are not aware that this was almost the same why China blocked and are still blocking U.S. companies for national security concerns.
The potential ban on Chinese apps could hurt some users more than others. For example, WeChat is a more popular way to reach people in China than regular phone calls. Again, college student Tian Xinyu.
Once the ban is in place, it would make Chinese people abroad lose the most convenient way to communicate with people in China.
And U.S. brands would lose a key marketing tool to reach Chinese customers. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
And Facebook says it is banning advertising that tries to delegitimize the election. It's about ads that try to falsely claim that specific ways of voting, by mail, for instance, are fraudulent, manipulated, or crooked in some way. This is about paid ads. The new Facebook policy does not stop your Aunt Sarah or whomever from forwarding unhinged posts about voting if you critically think through and fact-check everything before forwarding, and you happen to be named Sarah with nieces or nephews. I don't mean you. I am David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.